All right. We're going to go ahead and do something a little different this episode. We're going to turn off the lights. It was good. I thought, like, the last show, what we did was we did something different where we had people talking during the whole thing. But this show, it's a new thing we're trying. It's the distraction edition of Stub.
Roughly 24 to 92 hours ago, Stab's team of comedy scientists commissioned four specific humorists to give various potentially comedic takes on several random topics, which they'll now perform for the first and likely last time in front of a live studio audience in a show called Stab. Stab.
Holy fuck! I just saw a murder! And there's people here. Welcome to Stab. Welcome yourselves to Stab. All the comedians are on the stage already, so I don't have to bring them up, but I will talk to them in seat number one. Johnny Taylor. Yeah. Johnny Taylor, let him hear you. Johnny Taylor.
Hey, John.
How are you?
I'm good. How are you doing?
I understand you need some Twitter followers.
Yeah, I do. I'm on the lookout.
To add to the 80 Gs. You have 80,000 Twitter followers.
I have 98,400.
98.4. Are they bots?
No, 98% real.
Oh, my God.
2%. 2% bot. I just did the... you know Steve Hofstetter, he's a stand-up comedian.
Yes.
Ran the spam software on his Twitter following.
Yes.
60% spam.
Oh, my God. That's rough.
He's buying Twitter followers, you guys.
Yeah, you can't buy them. Johnny Taylor, you have an album out called Tangled Up and Plaid. You
I do.
On iTunes.
iTunes, Spotify, Rhapsody. You can buy it out of my backpack.
Don't buy it. Listen to it on Spotify.
Yeah, listen, honestly, more people... The fact that 4,000 more people have listened to it on Spotify probably end up making me more money.
Really?
In the long run. Yeah.
Jesus. Little known fact, just really quick about Johnny Taylor. He once took a walk. Took a walk. That seemed mean to say for some
not
reason.
Not true, actually.
Okay, one time.
Not true.
Oh, thank you for being here, Johnny Taylor.
Thank you for
thank
having
you.
Me.
In the seat right next to him, we have the wonderful Stephen Ferris. Stephen Ferris, yes. Steve Ferris, do you have a Twitter?
I do, yeah.
Okay, what is it?
It's at what do you, the letter U,
okay,
want to do?
Okay. Wonderful. That's great. Thank you for coming, Steve.
Yeah, and I have almost exactly the same number of followers as I have tweets.
Oh, that's a nice, that's a weird ratio to keep up with.
Yeah, it's a trip.
Well, thank you. Thank you, Steve, for being here. Steve, I don't know if you knew this, is the father of modern taxidermy. Yeah, yeah. Also a comedian.
Oh.
Very good. Thanks for being here, Steve. And sure. Let's give Steve a hand.
Yeah.
He's here. Make him feel good. And then right next to him, we have a guy named Jesse Jones. Yeah. Jesse Jones. Let's give him a hand.
Sure. Yeah.
Jesse Jones. Johnny Taylor is currently eating nachos.
Had them delivered to stage. That's stage side service.
That's right.
That's nice.
They are.
Thank you, Art.
I think you should be thanking me.
Thank you, John. John Ross bought these nachos.
I mean, I don't mean to brag.
Very poor.
I did offer. I mean, I have kids, but yeah. Johnny has nachos.
Thank you, Daddy.
John Jr. John the Fifth. Jesse Jones, do you have anything that you would like to plug?
Multiple Stab outlets. That's all I do.
That's right. You're here. This is your 1600th. Appearance on Stab, 1600th. Good.
1600th.
I don't know if you knew this about yourself.
Probably not.
You're the grandfather of modern taxidermy.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know. You know, like, Steve was a father. You're the grandfather.
Yeah.
You're Steve's dad.
Yeah. It's the change. I mean, I agree with some of Steve's changes.
Okay.
I think the traditional ways are still better in some cases.
But the era of taxidermy is very quick.
Well,
it's like like dog years, I think.
I got it.
Let's play Stab. Let's play it. We're going to play it. Yeah. Clap.
Yeah. Yeah.
This first segment is called This Was Today Once. Johnny Taylor, on this date, 1873, Levi Strauss and Jacob Davis received the U.S. patent for blue jeans with copper rivets. Also on this date, 1983, first publications of the discovery of the HIV virus that causes AIDS. I don't know if you knew that. In the Journal of Science by some guy named Luke Montagnier. Montagnier. Montagnier?
Jamie Fernandez.
Jamie Fernandez. Okay. how did you celebrate? What did you do?
Well, I didn't really celebrate.
Okay.
What I did is I've done the show a number of times. And normally what I would do is I would say how I celebrated.
Right.
Yeah, but I decided I did not want to do that this time.
All right.
I wanted to pretend I was like a news anchor man.
Okay.
And I was announcing the day in history, like as it happened.
All right. I'd like
so
to hear
that's
that.
What I did because I like to make my own rules. So and I'm an anchor man right now.
All right.
Today, Levi Strauss and Jacob Davies. Davies?
Davis. You're live.
I'll We're take
live.
It from the top. Today, Levi Strauss and Jacob Davis patented blue jeans with copper rivets. Finally, well, easy for me to say. Take it from the top. Today, Levi Strauss and Jacob Davis patented blue jeans with copper rivets, finally replacing those cumbersome but oh-so-flashy affliction blue jeans with rhinestone rivets. Mm. And then this is me. Now I'm like a concerned breaking news anchor man right now. I'm like, today we found out that if you fuck an African monkey, you get hella sick. But don't worry. It's probably just a cold or something.
Film at 11. Johnny Taylor. Bringing it hard.
Johnny Taylor's character work.
Ooh.
Appreciate it.
Very versatile.
Yeah.
Very good. Very good. Who's coming in? You can come in for free. Just please. Please stay. It's Emma Haney. Emma Haney, ladies and gentlemen. Let's hear it for Emma Haney.
We can get her to see a show. We just can't get her to be on
That's
a show.
That's right. She's like, fuck Stab. Fuck doing Stab. Those guys are perverts. Steve Ferris. On this date, 1899, the first traffic ticket in the U.S. was given out. New York City taxi driver to a guy named Jacob German. He was arrested for speeding while driving 12 miles an hour on Lexington Street. Also on this date, 1992, India launches its first satellite independently. How'd you celebrate these aforementioned events in tandem?
Okay, well, my work didn't give me the day off to celebrate. I wasn't really sure if it was worth celebrating or not. The first thing I did was go dumpster diving.
Okay.
And I wanted to try to find some abandoned dish network equipment. specifically the satellite itself. It's a nice little satellite. I had to get to work, so I didn't have time to go to the thrift stores to see if they had it. And I didn't want to buy a new one. I don't even know if you can buy them without signing up for the service. I couldn't find one in any of the dumpsters that I looked in, so I said, fuck. And just got in the car to go pick up my carpool. If I had found one, I would have tried to quickly attach it to the back of my car like some kind of Star Trek meets the Fast and the Furious wing. Then I would have driven to the auto shop on 16th and S, taken the wing off, and tried to hop the fence. If I would have succeeded, which is unlikely, I would have then tried to attach the dish wing to the DeLorean that they have hiding in a corner, if it's still there. and then driven it at 88 miles per hour to try to see if I could go back to 1899 and then 1992.
I see what
if I recall correctly, DeLoreans have digital speedometers, so it'd be a lot easier to reenact driving at 12 miles per hour in one than it would be in my Ford Focus, unless I hooked up an additional gear to it that would tell me my exact speed. Then I went to work.
Very good, Steve. Steve first. Very good.
Oh, thank you.
Director's commentary here. During your thing there, Johnny Taylor leaned over to me and asked if we could hear him chewing in the microphone. I want to assure you, Johnny, it wouldn't matter. We like chatter during our shows.
The more the merrier.
We want it to sound like a music bed of a busy street. It's great. Jesse Jones,
yeah.
We're going to round this out. On this date, 2011, Randy the Macho Man Savage, American wrestler and actor, passed away.
Yeah.
On this date, 1 year later in 2012, Robin Gibb, English singer and songwriter and producer of the Bee Gees, the Rattlesnakes, or the One World Project, he died.
Yeah.
How did you celebrate these days, dates? Or days. Either or. Your choice.
Death.
Yes.
So much death. It surrounds me. It's come to a point where I've begun questioning whether it's merely coincidence that death seems to follow me, or if I'm somehow death's instrument. And the only reason anyone has to die is so that I can celebrate it. I decided that perhaps if I could figure out the cause, if I could put together the pieces of this grim puzzle, perhaps I could defeat death itself. Perhaps I could prevent all of these death-related prompts. Two shows, three deaths. What did they all have in common? Randy Savage, Robin Gibb, Gilda Radner.
Oh, that's right.
At first glance, the three couldn't have less to do with one another. And it couldn't possibly be that when it comes to finishing stab segments, John just gives up and throws the famous dead people at me.
Hey, seat number four. That's what you get.
Then it suddenly became terrifyingly clear. The grotesque answer was right under my very nose. Randy Savage, Robin Gibb, and Gilda Radner. Each of them had an R in their name, and each of them were dead. Coincidence? Bullshit! Just think about it. Do you know anyone without an R in their name that isn't not dead? Of course you don't, because they haven't. I dug deeper, looking into the other deaths surrounding this day. 2013, Ray Manzarek, keyboardist for The Doors, dead.
That's right.
2014, Ross Brown, New Zealand rugby player, dead. And as I went further down the rabbit hole, I discovered it didn't even matter what day you died. The R followed. Robin Williams, Ricardo Montalban, Ronald Reagan, all dead. Then the true power of this letter of the damned began to reveal itself to me. It didn't even matter if your name started with an R. Simply having the accursed consonant anywhere in your name marked you for death.
Shit.
Johnny Carson, Dale Earnhardt. Why, even just this year, Leonard Nimoy, Spock Vulcan himself, murdered by death! Then I took a look around today's panel. I'm sorry, John Ross, but your time is fleeting. Johnny Taylor, Stephen Ferris, even you two are destined to die someday. Simply because the cursed hook and bar befouls your title. And then I realized, Jesse Jones, I am an immortal! I shall live to see the fall of everything. The sun will grow and expand, engulfing this pitiful earth, E-A-R-T-H. The solar, S-O-L-A-R system will spin apart and fly off into nothingness. But still, I shall witness it all. floating in the void, master of the infinite ruler. Wait. Oh, God, no. My middle name, Patrick. Hidden away like a thief in the night, it waits for me. Lurking ever-present just over my shoulder. Death! So, you know, just sort of a normal day for me.
Very good. That was This Was Today Once. This is still Stab. Why not? We haven't changed the name. This next segment is called The Top 5 Google Searches Of. Gentle people on stage. Please take this. Wait, sorry. Went to the wrong. Please have composed the top 5 Google searches of Google. If Google could search Google, what would Google search? Johnny Taylor will do one at a time and alternate henceforth.
Google.
Google would search? Okay.
We all do it. Don't act like Google's not going to fucking Google itself.
That's true.
I Google my own name every week. Day. Sometimes twice.
/ day.
Sometimes hour.
Google alerts. Johnny Taylor. Steve Ferris. It's the first thing that...
That's what I got, too. I just Googled Google, and then that's what came up. It said Google.com. Search the world's information, including web pages, images, videos, and more. Google has many special features to help you find exactly what you're looking, ...
Oh, I wonder what that next word was.
Probably four.
Okay.
Probably.
Speculation, allegedly. Yeah. Jesse.
Search number one. What is the purpose of the continued existence of the human race?
All right. Johnny Taylor, if you could finish chewing your bought nachos. Your third-party bought nachos.
I love eating stuff that I didn't buy. Makes it taste better. Why do I only bring up certain strip clubs in San Francisco's red light district?
Interesting.
It's real.
Steve, wake up.
All right, number two, and then again, and this is one of the real results.
Okay.
Because I was just kind of confused. So, alleged prostitute sentenced to 6 years in Google exec's death aboard yacht. CNN, an alleged prostitute accused in the death of a Google executive pleaded guilty on ...
Jesse Jones, you're second of five.
Easily exploitable physiological weaknesses of biological organisms.
Oh. I see. Singularity. Johnny Taylor, third of five.
Why do cops hate black people?
Yeah, that's something. Stephen Ferris.
All right. Third... real result, if you Google, Google, Wikipedia, the free encyclopedia. Google is an American multinational technology company specializing in internet-related services and products. These include online advertising technologies, ...
Jesse, be the third person to give the third of five... Google searches, please.
Automated mass production, DIY.
John Taylor.
Have you ever needed someone so bad?
Steve Ferris.
Okay. Google, Facebook. Google, Mountain View, California. 18,635,370 likes, 57,381 talking about this, organizing the world's information and making it universally accessible and useful. Just one dot.
Oh, just one dot. One dot. All right. Jesse Jones, be the third to do the fourth of five.
Yes. James Spader, text-to-speech voice synthesizer.
Right. And here comes the gold guys. The fifth part.
Why am I always getting blamed for ruining San Francisco?
Very good. Because Steve Ferris.
All right. Is Google making us stupid? The Atlantic. Research that once required days in the stacks of periodical rooms of libraries can now be done in minutes. A few Google searches, some quick clicks on hyperlinks, and I've got a telltale fact or pithy ... And then I rounded it off by writing, psh. That was so easy. I didn't have to write anything.
Thanks, Steve. Yeah. Nice. Clap for Steve if you want. Yeah, it's not the end of the segment.
Whatever.
Clap when you want to.
Yeah.
Or talk when you want to. Jesse Jones. Please be the third to read your fifth of five.
Yeah. Fifth search was an address search for Avengers Tower.
That was the top five Google searches of Google. This is still Stab. Thank you. This next segment is called Reorganization. You may remember it from all of our shows. Please take this existing acronym and reimagine it. One, what does it stand for now? And two, who or what does it now represent? Today's acronym for this episode is NRA. NRA.
Yes.
Jonathan Taylor.
NRA stands for Nautical Rap Alliance. Not done. Take it from the top.
All right.
NRA stands for Nautical Rap Alliance. It's an association to promote the art of underwater hip-hop and the hopes that Drake accidentally drowns.
Oh. All right. Very good. Or never reach again. You hear that? Art for nachos. Johnny Taylor, thank you. Sitting next to you is Stephen Ferris.
You're welcome.
Steve, what does NRA mean to you and yours?
Okay, well, you told me to take it and change it to something that means, like, how to make love correctly.
Wait. What?
Then I think that's what it said.
No, that was the... That's the poem. That's the
poem.
That's the next segment you're supposed to do.
Oh, man. Okay. Well, I got confused. I didn't even do that.
Okay.
So my NRA thing is like describing how to make love correctly.
Let's hear it. Why not?
All right.
We're all interested.
Yeah. How did I? Man. Wonder how I did that. Anyway. NRA equals no rubbing ass.
Okay.
So basically, when you make love, you're supposed to either be face to face or face to back, but never back to back. And I mean literally back to back, as in spine to spine or ass to ass. Not like back to back love making all day long. Kind of like back to back episodes of your favorite show or whatever. Like tonight, we had two back to back episodes of Stab.
Correct.
Not like that. I've never seen a porno where the porn stars rub against each other's backs or butts the whole time.
I have.
All right.
Sorry.
Well, the closest thing is when two female porn stars use a double-ended dildo vaginally and are on all fours.
Uh-huh.
Or when two female porn stars use a double-ended dildo anally and are on all fours. Or when two female porn stars use a double-ended dildo, but one uses it vaginally while the other uses it anally. Or... or when two male porn stars use a double-ended dildo anally. Or when one male porn star uses a double-ended dildo anally and one female porn star uses the other end vaginally. Or when two female porn stars use two double-ended dildos, one anally and one vaginally. I think maybe I left one out, but anyway. But even in these situations, you rarely see the asses rubbing against each other. More often than not, they just smack into each other. Smacking is fine. Rubbing is not. Rubbing ass, or no rubbing ass, the acronym, tells you how not to make love correctly, but shouldn't it tell you how to do it correctly? No. Because you can do pretty much anything besides rubbing ass. It's a lot more concise to just say, no rubbing ass, instead of saying everything else. That would take a lot of pages and time. No rubbing ass is all you need to know. Ask any guy, hey man, you ever get a girl by rubbing on her ass at the club with your ass? He'll either say that he never got a girl at the club, or he'll say, no, he never tried that. Then ask about smacking that ass or squeezing it, and a dude would probably either say it worked or they got kicked out of the club.
So. Oh, very good, Steve. Right. I'm so glad you messed that up. Oh, Jesus Christ. You want to go after that, Jesse? You can if you'd like.
Well, I'd sort of have to.
Okay. It's the rules.
Yeah. That's one of the best mistakes we've ever made.
Yeah, that was great.
NRA.
NRA. NRA. That's what it is.
Well, putting together a show like Stab can be difficult. Even with the meticulous level of planning that goes into putting together each show, it's impossible to expect the research team here at Stab Industries to be able to keep up with the dizzying history of the show. So they can't be faulted for having missed the fact that I had already done an NRA.
What episode was it, did you?
I was going to look it up, but I did not.
Oh.
But it's on a past episode. That's as much as I have. The now classic reorganization standard of excellence, which is the narcoleptic Russian acrobats.
That's right.
It's a fan favorite, which Stabbies, as diehard Stab fans call themselves in the unofficial Stab fan forums, often quote to one another at StabCon, the annual convention celebrating all things Stab. But it was this easily forgivable folly that has highlighted the need for a new oversight committee here at Stab headquarters, the Department of NRA, or needlessly reoccurring acronyms. This new division of Stabco will ensure that loyal listeners of Stab will be spared any future repeats of R2-D2s, OPPs, or XOXOs, while helping to maintain the high standard of excellence in comedy programming that you've come to expect from a show that prides itself on the highest quality penis, atrocity, and penis atrocity-based humor. Stab, it's atrocipenis-tastic.
I've grown to hate you. Just a joke. That segment was called Reorganization. Knock, knock.
Who's there?
Stab. This next segment is called Write an Angry Poem About It. Steve Ferris, I feel like you didn't write an angry poem about...
I'm writing it right now.
Okay. Oh, you're just writing it? Okay. All right.
That's a level of professionalism that the show is missing.
write an angry poem about it. Johnny Taylor, you were to have written a poem, an angry poem, in regards to your first dead pet.
Hey, real quick. there's no. It might have been the best part of my week, listening to Steve talk about two chicks taking double-sided dildos to their asshole and vagina while two old ladies had a coffee chat in the corner. What a strange backdrop for that conversation. Now, what was I supposed to do?
your first dead pet, an angry poem about it.
Roses are red, violets are blue. I killed my dog.
Very good. Very good. It's... Did you kill your first pet?
Of course.
Did you? Who doesn't?
No. I did kill Jamie's animal one time.
Oh, wait.
Those pills were really long acting. I gave him these pills. She used to live with me. One time, Jamie's dog bit Steve Ferris.
That is
and
true.
Steve passed out and hit his head. And it bled all over the floor. And I came home. I was out late. And I came home, and Jamie was like, "Something happened." And she explained that story. And there's blood all over the kitchen floor. Back to you, Steve.
Are you done writing your angry poem, Steve?
I wrote four lines.
Okay, your poem.
I tried to stall, John.
Was about to.
I mean, we can skip over. I can do mine if you want to continue writing, Steve. Are you happy with the four lines that you have?
I mean, it might be.
Mine's incredibly short, too. It's a haiku. So.
Okay. I mean, I might get one more line.
All right.
Okay.
All
so right. We'll skip over. We'll go to Jesse Jones.
Yeah.
You were to have written a poem about B.B. King's funeral.
Uh-huh.
That hasn't happened yet, I think.
Well, I decided to go with a haiku. Not at all because I just desperately needed to finish my prompts before we started recording. So this haiku was titled Grave Confusion. I loved Stand By Me. Wait, I'm sorry, different guy. Oh, fuck, he died too?
That's right. Very good. Recently, what was that guy's name?
Ben E. King.
Ben E. Oh, my God.
Yeah.
B.B. King and Ben E. King.
Yeah. That's why
no
it topically.
Yeah, no R's. That's what I was thinking, too.
Well. Their poor mother. She's got to be really going through some.
The King family could use King. Your thoughts and prayers right now. Some thoughts and prayers. Steve Ferris, how to properly make love. An angry poem in regards to that.
All right. At first, when I started writing it, I didn't know it was supposed to be angry. So I didn't have that instruction. But, I mean, I think it'll work.
All right. Do an angry voice. I want to hear you angry.
Take off all your clothes and I will hide them. Get down on the floor and masturbate beside them. I will watch you and coach you to make it better. Keep going, bitch. You need to get wetter.
Oh, wow. This feels...
My clothes stay on until you beg for the cock.
Oh, my God.
Slut, if this doesn't work out, then I will use your sock. That's it.
Sex crime.
That was titled If Steve's Walls Could Talk.
I feel mind raped.
I know. It felt real.
I got wetter, though.
I am hard.
When I said that, I did.
Oh, man. That was Write an Angry Poem About It. This show, you know what it's called. This next segment's called Movie Makeup. Movie makeup. Here are some movie titles we made up. Please give them a synopsis based off of the provided titles. They could be any genre you choose. Examples: action, documentary, sports, etc. Johnny Taylor, you were given best friends for now. Best friends for now.
It's best friends for ... now.
Now.
So this is a crime drama. Directed by John Singleton. It's starring Omar Epps, Taye Diggs, Tyrese Gibson, who I think are the same person. I've never seen all three of them at the same place.
That was racist.
Hugh Laurie is the part, he's playing a police sergeant, David Duke.
Oh, man.
Okay, here's a synopsis. When civil unrest strikes the city of Baltimore, it becomes us versus them. In this case, them is the crooked cops of Charm City. And us is, you guessed it, the Bloods and the Crips. In a constant battle for the streets, you'd almost never see red and blue rags grabbing an ice cream cone together at your local Baskin-Robbins, much less watch them fighting together against the racist pigs of one of America's most violent cities. Watch as Shorty the Crip and Two Dubs join a bowling league together. Marvel at Mean Gene Johnson of the East Side Bloods helping Lil Deuce, the 7-year-old of Big Wiggle, one of the most notorious Crip gang leaders, with their spelling homework. Even Tyreek the Playa and Stone Washington are getting along. We all know this heartwarming tale can only last as long as cops are killing innocent black people. So the Bloods and Crips are best friends for now. This movie's not been rated.
Very good, Johnny Taylor. Thank you very much. By the way, this is our last segment of the show. So, Johnny Taylor, give him a hand for all of the work he's done.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
All the heavy lifting. Steve Ferris, the title you've been given, which I feel like would fit in your poem, called Spit That Out.
Okay.
Spit That Out. Same.
All right. So, from the producers of Honey and the director of Step Up to the Streets comes the story of Little Jenny, a middle school girl from the suburbs whose family just had to move and enrolled her in a rough inner city school. After constant verbal and physical abuse by the school's savage student body, Little Jenny impulsively begins spitting on her attackers, covering them in slimy loogies. Jenny then comes to the attention of the school superintendent, who is intent to have Jenny lead the school's new spit team. So, basically, it'd be like any, like Honey or Step Up to the Streets, you know, they have the competitive spitting between the schools. And, like, Jenny's the best because she's been through all this stuff. And, you know, she ends up triumphing and just, so you see these kids just spitting all over each other. It's like dripping and spit. It's pools of spit. Pools of spit just like everywhere. People slipping in it and falling down and stuff. So.
All right, Steve Ferris, thank you for that editing.
Write a spec script.
Yeah. Yeah, that would be good.
I'd watch that.
I'd see that movie. Steve Ferris, thank you very much. One more time for Steve Ferris. Let's. Jesse Jones, the name of the movie makeup you were given is The Chuck E. Cheese Story. Mm-hmm. The Chuck E. Cheese Story.
Now, not to continue my dickish ways of the evening, was this intended to be the restaurant?
Yes, yeah, the story behind the restaurant. But whatever.
The restaurant is Chuck E.
And I put
Cheese.
Chuck E, yeah. Chuck Y, yeah, sorry.
His middle initial is Anesh.
He has kids. Yeah. He has kids.
Yeah, you would think. You would think.
That's why I don't go to Chuck E. Cheese.
Saying he's fucking busy.
I've just been giving you a hard time, John.
I have them half the time.
I appreciate your work.
Hey, I appreciate your worth.
Yeah. So Chuck E. Cheese. Chuck E. Cheese. This is where I went with Chuck E. Cheese.
Okay.
Kevin Lewis packs the wife and kids into the SUV and pulls out of the driveway of his picturesque Pine Manor Grove Estates planned community and sets off on the lookout for an evening of good, wholesome family fun. As Kevin responsibly traverses the neighborhood's shopping center district, a bright red and blue sign for Good Guys Pizza catches his eye. This must be new, he says to the family with a smile. Who wants pizza? Family cheers and replies as Kevin pulls into the parking lot. Stepping inside, the Lewis family is greeted by a cacophonous mixture of arcade games, laughing children, and the cheery singing of the animatronic Good Guys Band. Seems like the perfect place for the Lewis family pizza party. But soon, one after another, strange accidents befall each of the family members. Little Trevor, playing a game of skee-ball, has his tiny hand crushed by a sudden, unexpected rush of new balls in the chute. As Kevin takes Trevor to the first aid station, his wife, Caroline, begins spitting up blood at the table, having bitten into a razor blade somehow hidden beneath a slice of pepperoni. Meanwhile, 10-year-old Elizabeth Lewis left unattended to watch the good guys band sing chipper songs about brushing after every meal, has been brainwashed by the leader of the band, a bright, freckle-faced redhead in blue overalls. Setting her loose on the pizza parlor floor, armed with a duffel bag full of kitchen knives and the urge to kill anything that moves. And why the hell not? One of the ticket prize dolls at the redemption counter tries to sexually assault Kevin for good measure. All bets are off and all logic happily abandoned in this, the seventh installment of the Chucky horror franchise, Child's Play 7, Chuck E. Cheese.
Very good, very good. Jesse Jones, that was movie makeup. This was Stab. Ladies and gentlemen, Stab is over. If you'd like to hear more Stabs, go to one of our many online outlets, the primary being www.stab4gold.com, the number 4. Or you can go to @stabshow on Twitter, SoundCloud, or if you'd like to put your face, the faces to the voice, go over to YouTube and watch that. This edition of Stab was recorded and produced at Luna's Cafe here in Sacramento, California. Our recording engineer, he's over here. His name's Dan Herrera with TBP Studios. All voiceover work was done by the 4-time All-Star, John Alston, All-American. All of our social media is handled by Procter & Gamble. Wardrobes were provided by Poverty. And lodging for all the guests for Stabs was provided by Mitsubishi. Mitsubishi, sleep in your car. Thanks for listening, everyone. Good evening.